This is Karen Motokaitis, host of How She Really Does It, where inspiration and possibility meet. I believe there are many valuable lessons to be learned from other people's journeys. My lifelong quest has been to use inspirational success stories to motivate and empower others to achieve their personal best. How She Really Does It dives into the depths to truly understand what motivates inspirational people in order to help others realize their own personal potential and goals. We love to hear our listeners' comments about our shows or questions for upcoming guests. You can email us by going to our website, www.howshereallydoesit.com, and click contact to send us an email. Our past shows are available on our website or as podcasts from iTunes. Do you wonder how to get out of debt or buy a house or start investing? Today we have another smart cookie, Angela Smith. Last week we had Katie Dunsworth, one of the five smart cookies here. And today we have Angela Self. And she was one of five women who formed a money group after watching Oprah's Debt Diet show. They all transformed their lives by becoming honest and learning about money, empowering their lives. They have a new book out called The Smart Cookies Guide to Making More Dough, and a Canadian TV show and more to come. Welcome, Angela.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having us on again.
It's great to have you on. So let's first talk a little bit about, because we Katie last week talked about her money issues. Let's talk about your background.
Well, for me, I think, and we've talked often about this in our money group, that your spending habits and your thoughts towards money really stem from your childhood experiences. So for me, I think, growing up, I grew up with a single mom for quite some time, and often for many years she relied on credit cards. So for a long time, I pretty much thought that's how you kind of paid for things. And, my mentality as I was growing up was kind of spend now, worry later. You know, you've got lots of time to worry about retirement and to pay back your debts. And so I just kind of, everything went on credit card, and it was kind of ignorance is bliss. And I kept, I kept along that path until I finally hit my breaking point. And then I knew I needed to get back on track.
And so were you one of the five women that saw the Oprah, the Debt Diet show?
Yeah, actually, I'd seen the show, and it's funny because one of my colleagues in the business, Sandra, we had been talking prior to that, and we're saying, you know what, you know, we're making at the time I think it was almost $28,000. We're making $28,000. How do we live, and how do we invest, and how do we save, and we still have some type of fabulous lifestyle, and we just basically weren't able to make ends meet. So after seeing the Oprah show, something clicked, and we said, you know, we need to do something about our finances, but if we're going to do this, we have to do it together, because that's the only way we'll be able to make it stick. And also, we wanted to make it fun and to make it social and something that we would look forward to doing, as opposed to kind of, you know, be begrudging about it. And we wanted to make sure that it stuck with us.
So the Oprah, the Debt Diet show, really kind of kickstarted you guys, gave you some of the tools, and then you guys, by forming the group, really held each other accountable and made the commitment.
Yeah, exactly. And initially, when we first started, we followed her outline to the T. And then after a short while, we said, you know, we kind of have to implement our own tools and our own way of looking at this. So we kind of switched it up a little bit, and then we finally kind of established an agenda for the money group. But we did. We met every week because we said, you know, we were all in quite a mess. So we said we need to meet weekly to make sure that we're keeping each other on track. And, you know, it's like, you know, we say losing weight or, you know, if you're doing it on your own, it's really easy to talk yourself into or out of something. And so we said, you know what, we've got to do this together. We've got to support one another. And, you know, as women, we support each other in so many other things. So why not one of the most important things, which is getting your finances on track?
And a lot of times with groups, whether they're investment clubs, book clubs, you know, any sort of group, what tends to happen is after a while, people may start gung-ho, but then, you know, well, we don't really want to do this, or, yeah, that's great, but that means I have to share with you all my financial information.
Yeah. And that was one of the hardest things, and I think, you know, even just having the conversation about money for a lot of people can be overwhelming or can be intimidating. So, you know, at first it was coming to the table and being real and being honest about our financial situation, but then it was also saying, okay, here's my bank statement, here's my credit card statement, so, you know, I'm not hiding anything. And I think it was almost like a weight had been lifted off. And prior to the first meeting, I was really nervous. And because I didn't even really know what my financial picture was. And at the time, I was in a relationship where my partner controlled most of the money and most of the finances. So I wasn't even aware of kind of, you know, where the money was and what we were paying for this or that. So in a sense, I was almost kind of embarrassed because I thought, I've got it together in all these other areas of my life, but when it comes to finances, you know, in my finances, I'm totally clueless. But the great thing about it, the money group, was that there was no judgment. It was like, okay, we all have our money issues, so let's lay them out, and then let's work together to figure out a plan for each one of us.
So, Angela, there's two things that really strike me about you and the Smart Cookies. One is that you are all in your 20s, and maybe there's somebody in their early 30s.
Yeah, but 20s and 30s.
Yeah, so, and that usually women, and usually most people don't, like, take a hard look until something devastating happens, a divorce, mm-hmm. a business, you know, something mm-hmm. happens and they go, oh my goodness, I need to learn.
Yeah.
And then two was that, and I really like this component, is that you guys were kickstarted by something that you saw on TV. You know, and we've talked about, there's so much information that's coming at us. I mean, one of my show is one of those shows where, you know, we're trying to give people information to empower their lives. And it's so nice to see that, you know, you were able to take that and do, like, beyond a 180 in your lives.
Well, I think even a combination of the two things you just mentioned. We all had different things that were our, you know, our rock bottom. And I think, you know, for me in particular, I was at a grocery store one day at a bakery, and I was buying items, and I swiped my card, and it was declined. And it was, for me, that was my, okay, I need to do something about this. And the line was getting bigger, and I had to put items back, and it was my worst nightmare. I just thought, oh, my gosh. And I got back in the car, and I thought, I don't even know what's in my account. And actually, I don't even have enough in my account to cover this. Like, how did I let it get so out of control? And, you know, even for the other girls, actually, as you mentioned, divorce, Robin had just gone through a divorce, so she was dealing now with all of those financial issues. And, you know, Katie was getting married, and her husband were totally opposites when it came to money. So, you know, she thought, if we don't get on track, then this could be, you know, grounds for a serious issue in our relationship. So Andrew had creditors after her. We all had our certain, you know, our breaking points. So then seeing the episode of Oprah, as you said, was just kind of the, you know, Oprah's aha moment, that something that just clicked, that was like, you know, we deserve more than that, and we shouldn't be feeling the anxiety, and we shouldn't have that stress. And, you know, you deserve to live your richest life in all senses of the word, and that really starts with taking a good look at your money and where you spend it and why you spend it, I think is also an important thing to consider. So, you know, I think it was, we all had a kind of a breaking point, and then we had luckily the opportunity to be inspired by something and then to work together to kind of get out of our financial messes.
Well, it sounds like you all were trying to really become true to yourself and to really listen and to define goals and to realize, and maybe some of, you know, one of the reasons that you were able to do this at such a young age is because you were so much more self-aware of, okay, this isn't okay. I can't just hide behind this, or there are possibilities that are better. And so maybe that led to the empowerment that usually comes so much later in people's lives.
Is exactly right, is that we were trying to be real and be honest. And I think, you know, for myself and for the other Smart Cookies and for even, you know, friends in their 20s and 30s, it's, you're trying to project this image. You're trying to, you know, keep up with your friends or keep up with people you see at work, or think that, you know, I need that outfit and I need those shoes to project this image and to be successful. And it's like you want everything right now, and it has to be the biggest and the best. But really, it's causing anxiety, and it's not really fulfilling or bringing you closer to your goals or really giving you joy. And for us, it's just like, who are we kidding? And whose life are we really living? And let's just own up to it, and let's be real. And I think that's also sometimes hard to do on your own, which is why it's great to have the support around you. And but that's it. It's just about being real and living your real, authentic life, as opposed to trying to just accumulate things to think you have to project a certain image. So for us, it was kind of getting back to the basics and determining, you know, what it is we really value, what are our goals, what do we really want, and then now let's align our spending with these things.
Yeah, I really applaud that, because I think it's really, that can be a difficult thing about having goals and then working and then staying committed to working through that. And you guys did that and stayed together.
And that's the thing. Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, we set our short-term goals, we set our long-term goals, and we worked together to achieve them, you know. And I think that that was the key. But I mean, the other thing, too, is that we weren't all friends before we joined the Money Group. And I think people are surprised by that. And I think, you know, you don't have to be a financial expert. You don't have to be the best of friends to find other people who want to join a Money Group. And that was really our goal with our website. You know, and we're like, let's make smartgroupies.com the place where people can go and connect with other people to start their money groups. And let's give them the tools and the resources that have helped us to become so successful.
Well, and it sounds like your guys' story really resonates with your followers, because you understand where they're coming from, because you guys have all been there. So even though you guys aren't, you know, financial planners or money managers, but you guys have lived this, and then you've shown that this is possible, and here are the changes,
exactly.
And this is what you do. I mean, you're basically showing them your story.
Exactly, yeah. And I think that's the beauty of it, is that we're saying, you know, we weren't financial experts or advisors or really any financial background. And, you know, it's always, and for our family and friends who know us well are saying, oh, my gosh, like, you know, a few years ago, you were this crazy financial mess. And so I think that's kind of the beauty of it, is we're saying, you know, look, we're five regular women. We're, you know, similar to your friends or your sisters or your family. And these are the simple things that we've done. And that's the thing. They don't have to be these crazy, huge things. They're just simple changes, but they make huge life changes. And, you know, it's we wanted to make it fun, and we wanted to make it easy to understand and easy to get through. And we wanted to give people things that they could easily implement into their day-to-day life, but then make those big changes. So, you know, I think that's the beauty of it. And as you said, it resonates with people, because we've had people say to us, you know, I like hearing it from you, because if you can do it, then we can do it. And, you know, you kind of understand where we're coming from. And I think, you know, you can, I think for a lot of women, they can see a little bit of their story in one of the five of us, whether that's dealing with couples or, you know, career changes or debt or out-of-control spending. There's something, I think, that kind of, you know, you can identify with. And so I think that's why we've been able to connect with other people, because our stories are, you know, broad, and our issues, you know, we cover a number of different issues and our money excuses. And so hopefully people will be able to connect with our story and you know, use this book to make some serious life changes.
This is Corinne Motokaitis of How She Really Does It, and I'm speaking with one of the five smart cookies, Angela Self. Their book is called The Smart Cookies Guide to Making More Dough. So, Angela, you're labeled the money magnet. Why is that?
Well, we kind of all gave each other these names, actually, when we were first working on our television show and thinking about how we were going to work with the people on our show. And you know, the girls in the beginning of the group would joke, like, oh, you're Tony Robbins cookie, because you're always talking about, you know, your mindset or your attitude towards money. And I think, you know, I was always also trying to look at ways to, once we thought about, okay, made a plan, paid in our debt, now we know, you know, we're on track, and now I was more interested in, well, how do we attract more? How do we bring more into our lives? And that's just not financial, but it's just more abundance of the good things that bring us joy. And, you know, the great thing that we found was that when you do get your financial house in order, then everything else kind of seems to fall into place because you're a lot more clear on what it is you're actually striving for. So I think Money Magnet, because I was just always interested in, okay, you know, how can we make more and how can we create more of the things that really bring us value and joy. And I've been looking at little ways to make extra money, which was a huge goal of the Smart Cookies. We talk a lot about in the book and on the website, you know, tips and tricks that you can use to make more money. And again, we really like to focus on the simple changes. You know, it doesn't have to be anything crazy. It's just the little simple things that people can do every day that aren't incredibly time-consuming, but that can actually create more wealth in your life.
And you guys have actual action steps in your book and on your website about here are things that you need to do.
Yeah, and there's different levels, but on the website, smartcookies.com, you can go on and there's different steps that you can follow. You know, we have our 6-step plan, which essentially for us is pretty much know your numbers. And then we spend quite a bit of time on talking about and showing people how to really align their spending with their values. And for us, that's huge, because once you know what you really are excited to save for and where you want to put your money, it becomes a lot easier to say no to those other purchases that don't contribute to your goals or to the bottom line of your savings. And you were doing that a lot. It was just mindless spending. You know, you get into the habit of doing something, or you're not conscious of what you're spending your money on until all of a sudden you realize, you know, you just spent thousands of dollars in the course of a year on coffees or lunches that you could really have probably done without. You know, even Andrea, at the end of the year, she said, "Oh my gosh!" When she looked at her finances when we first started the club, said, "I've spent $1,500 on coffees and stuff." And that's an all-inclusive getaway. You know, I'd rather be lying on the beach at the end of the year than having my lunches out. So, but again, if coffee is your thing, then that is, as I think you spoke about with Katie, the rather factor. So it's really getting clear on what it is you'd really want to be spending your money on.
Well, and that was the thing that I really enjoyed about your book, and when Katie and I talked about at great length last week, was that you aren't saying don't spend on this. Like, if you guys like to dress and have clothes. So have a budget of what you can really afford, and if you can't afford it, find other creative ways so that you can change your wardrobe if that's important to you. Have a spending plan.
Exactly. That's it. And it is. It's determining what is important to you. What do you really want to save for? What do you really want to spend your money on? And again, that kind of goes hand in hand with the concept of the vision board, which we're so crazy about. And you know, we get so excited about the vision boards because we know they work, and they worked every time for us. So that's something we encourage people to do, really easy to do, and something that people can do today to start seeing changes in their life.
So, Angela, I have a lot of, you know, spiritual people that come on. I have a wide range. But and when I'm talking with you, and this is a financial show, and you're kind of sounding a little like woo-woo out there, you know, creating abundance, you know, yes. The vision board. And you know, it's one thing when we're talking with spiritual people about these kinds of things, and then it's another to hear it coming from somebody else who has applied those techniques or those beliefs, and it's working for them.
Yeah, and you know, we joke about that too, but for us, it's just a mindset. It's a mindset about your money, and I think then that just kind of translates to everything else in your life. And you know, we when we talk about the vision boards, it's like, I know that they may sound a little bit cheesy at first, and that when we talk about them, we do get really excited. But it's more of your mindset. It's more of your mindset and thinking, you know what? This is the life I deserve. I deserve quality time with my family. I deserve a job that pays me well. I deserve to have, you know, a safety net and money in the bank. And if I want to take that vacation at the end of the year because I worked hard, then I deserve that too. And so for us, it was really like, okay, vision board just helps you, and setting goals just helps you get really clear on the kind of life you want to lead. And then your spending habits and the work that you do and things that you buy and life that you live kind of comes back to that. And so for us, you know, they're all connected. And I think that how you think about your money and how you spend has a lot to do with kind of the goals that you set yourself and what kind of life that you want to have. So, and I know for us, we're like, we know that it does sound kind of, oh, it's a little bit out there, but, you know, when you try it and it works, then you're really excited to share with other people and say, you know, just try it. And again, you know, it's something, too, we talk a lot about, you know, talking to your kids about money and getting on the same page with your partner. So, you know, it's a great exercise that you can do with your entire family. So,
you know, well, I have two things. One is I have a six-year-old daughter, and she has extreme clearness of what her goals are and what she wants to do. She knows exactly. And it's so funny. This morning we are talking because she has incredible discipline too. Our kids can buy the school hot lunch once a week.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of what we let, that's our family policy. And so my daughter, who's in first grade, has decided that she is not going to have lunch once a week. She's going to have it once every 2 weeks. That way she can save her money. So when she's in sixth grade, she can have hot lunch, you know, every day.
Oh my God. That is so funny. I love that. She's a smart cookie at six.
She is. I mean, you know, so when you're talking about like these goals and okay, here are my trade-offs and this is what I need to do.
Yes.
So yeah, this all came up with her and she's very disciplined too. And she's always saving money or saving whatever it is that she needs to save. But the go ahead.
Oh, sorry. And I was just going to say, that's why it's so important to talk to your kids about money. And, you know, even for us, we're like, we started working at 14, and I think if only I knew that I could just save a percentage of this paycheck. But oftentimes when you're younger, you're not thinking about retirement, buying a place, or, you know, what job you'll go into and how much money that will give you. So I think it's really great to involve your children. You know, you don't have to get into the nitty-gritty, but just in talking about the concept of money.
Oh, we talk a lot about it. I have these great piggy banks, and it's a mama pig and three baby pigs.
Yeah.
And so you put 70% of your allowance in the mama pig, and that's your spending. 10%
right.
goes into savings, 10% in investing, and 10% into charity.
And
the woman's been on my radio show before. She's got great, her stuff is great. And because her thing was she got into her late 30s and didn't understand like about money, and she wound up on this crusade about money, and then she's like, hey, I want to empower kids to know about money and how it works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's it, empowering kids, and, you know, Mark and Eve have put together a package, and we're actually going into the local high schools in our area to talk to the teenagers about money, and I think it's really important to even start the conversation at home and to involve your children, because you know, for us and for all of our friends, you get to university, and that's the first time you're really introduced to living on your own and, you know, creating a spending plan and where do you spend your money. And then you get a credit card, and after we got into trouble, and then you're kind of out of control and you're making excuses and you think you've got plenty of time. And so really, I mean, you know, we think the conversation at least should start younger. And for kids and even for partners, too, I mean, that was a big thing for us, being on the same page with your partner.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard because, you know, sometimes you attract your financial opposite. So, you know, and they have their own ideas and their own values about money. So it's like, okay, how do we get each other on the same page?
Well, and the other thing that I had was I don't know if it was just an aha that I just finally got, was with the vision boards and with this goal planning and the goal setting that you guys have. Not once have I heard you or Katie say, oh, well, you know, when we weren't financial planners or our financial lives were a mess, so how could we, you know, write a book or how could we, you know, go out and do all the stuff that we're doing? It was kind of like you were focused on this is where I want to go and focus your energy on that instead of the self-doubt that could incur.
Exactly. And I think that's the thing. Just as you said, it's the mindset. And even with your debt, and again, we do have the plan. We do have, you know, the outline of how do you pay it down. So it's being realistic. But then it's saying, you know what? I don't want to focus and constantly say, okay, my debt. It's like, okay, you created a plan, and we've created a plan in the book and the website, step by step. Here's how you reduce your debt. Okay, now you're on track with that. Now focus on the good stuff and bringing in more money. So that's in your work. That's in your spare time. That's in your home. And, you know, it's finding creative ways. So again, it's focusing on the good stuff, the kind of life you want to have and that you're looking to achieve, as opposed to I don't have this and I don't have that. And again, that's why, you know, we've kind of changed the wording of things, just because it's a different association. And you'd rather, doctor, because you're tired of saying, I can't afford this, or I can't afford to go out with you, oh, I don't have any money to spend on that, oh, you know what, no, I would rather spend my money on dinner with my family. I would rather buy that great pair of boots, you know. So it's just kind of switching your mindset, so it's not I can't, or I won't, or I'm in debt, or I'm... And again, those are the realities for us, and we're being realistic, and we're saying we have these issues, so let's create a solid plan to get this debt under control. But then let's focus on and let's talk about how we're going to make more money and reach these goals that we've set for ourselves.
Well, and again, go ahead.
Oh, sorry, I was just going to say, it doesn't have to be just, you know, more money in the bank. For us, for some of us, it was saying, you know, Katie was saying, well, I want more quality time with my husband. So that means I need to find a job that is a bit more flexible and that's going to bring me in more money. Or that means that, you know, and so it's not necessarily like I want a house and a bag and a this. And we certainly have those goals, but it's also, well, what about the quality of your life? Well, okay, you know, if you want more time with this or with that, then you have to look at your job and look at how much money you're making. And, you know, you may have to make some spending changes to allow yourself that great vacation at the end of the year with your family, or, you know, so it's looking at your life in total, as opposed to just saying, you know, it's just the things or the monetary value.
I'm just so overwhelmed right now, Angela, because, you know, so many of the people that I interview, this happens like 20 years from where you guys are at. It doesn't happen in their 20s. And I'm so excited and I applaud you guys so much because, you know, one of my big passions in my 20s was about finances, because I felt if you can learn finances, it can really empower your lives in so many ways, because it can allow for choices. And I was always, you know, talking about it and talking about it. People thought I was just the craziest person in the world. And, you know, so finally to find women who are in their 20s, I'm 36 now, but women in their 20s who are doing this and showing that it's possible to the world, that's just outstanding.
And I love so much what you said about choices, because that's essentially what it does, right? It gives you choice. And I think for us, when we were back into a corner, we were running out of choices and we were running out of options. So I think that's it. And it's exciting for us too, because, you know, we're hoping that through our stories and being totally honest and being real with where we were and, you know, the tools and the things that we've created to get on track will help other women in their 20s and 30s, so that when they're in their 40s and 50s and 60s and so on, they're in a great financial place. So, you know, and I remember even on Oprah, the episode that we appeared in, there was a woman who I think was in her 50s, and you know, it had a lot to do with couples and money and essentially her being out of control with her finances and being in the dark. And we watched that, and I met with her, and I thought, you know, that for sure would have been one of us, that for sure, and maybe would have even been me if I kind of continued on the same path. So I think even that was a wake-up call, and we hope that from our story, you know, other women at this age, which you said is sometimes a hard age in your 20s and early 30s, to kind of really look at your finances, that's actually what they'll do. Start having conversations about their money, look at their finances, really think about, you know, where they want to be in the foreseeable future, and then start to make those changes now.
Well, and now with your guys' TV show and your book, and you're putting out there, you're kind of dispelling some of the myths that are promoted so much in the media, like you guys talk about Sex and the City, right? So as young women, you're kind of inundated with these images of Carrie getting these Manola Blahniks, right? And so, well, of course, I need to be able to have this kind of lifestyle. I need to be able to keep up. And you're showing, no, this isn't real. Even though we should know better, we don't.
As a group, we've talked about this too, because I think most of us, if not all of us, have fallen into that trap of, you know, you see someone on the street and they're dressed to the nines and they've got the gorgeous coat and the boots and the, you know, and then you're looking down and you're like, oh, God, I've had this coat for 3 seasons. And you know what I mean? And it's like you kind of have that pang of, oh, I should have that, or, oh, I want to have that, or, oh, you know, or even you go to your friend's home or you're in their car or, you know, there's these certain things and these images that, and you're right, you're inundated with all of these things that are like, you know, to have a fabulous life, you need this and you need that. And, you know, even in the beginning of our money group, Sandra was saving for, I think we talked about this, her coach bag. And so we're like, oh, that's great. She put the coach bag on her vision board, and we checked in every week, how you doing with saving? And then finally, once we really got honest and smart about our money, we said, you know what? You probably shouldn't really be saving for that coach bag right now, and eventually you'll be able to have it. But, you know, it was a $1,000 bag, and she thought, okay. So anyway, she ended up replacing the coach bag with a picture of a condo for her vision board because she thought, you know what, that's really not going to do anything for me. It's not really going to further my goals. It's not really, you know, I don't really need it, but what I would like to do is have my own place. So, you know, her mindset also switched. And again, we're saying, you know, there's certain things if you would like to have, then by all means create a plan to get those things, but you don't need all of those things. You don't need that expensive wardrobe to excel in your career and, you know, to have great friends and to, you know, and I think it's just for us, it was like, let's get back to basics and, you know, we don't need these things to really define who we are. And you know, to be honest, we still struggle with that sometimes. We still do when we're shopping or when we're out or when we're, you know, so it's striking the balance, but I think you're right. Sometimes it can be overwhelming, you know, when you're inundated with all of these things.
You know, it's so interesting listening to you talk, and whether it's about having this group of women to kind of hold you accountable or about having the vision boards and having goals that you put, and then even the goals may change. Like you talk about the purse, and then when you become real, it's like, no, maybe a house. And maybe she needed that purse to kind of get her to believe eventually that the house or the condo was something that was actually achievable. But a lot of these things, because I've been a coach and a former athlete for a number of years, is that this is what we do in athletics. And so when people will sometimes argue with me about, you know, this whole woo-woo stuff or spirituality or vision boards, I go, well, it kind of makes sense to me because this is what we do as coaches, you know, for athletics, right? You don't dwell on the negative. You don't dwell on, oh, there might be people faster than me. You only work on what you can control and what you can do, and you have goals, and maybe those goals change over time. But you have a plan, you work towards that, and you drop all the naysaying that may go around.
Exactly. And I think, you know, that was an important message for us, and that worked for us. And again, just as you said with the sports team, it's, you know, you're working together to achieve this goal, you're celebrating the success, and that's the thing, even with players, you know, you run through your program in your mind, you run through how you want it to be, you keep your positive mind frame, you know what I mean, and you strive to reach these goals, and when you get there, then you celebrate, and then you reach higher, and I think it's kind of the same mentality, and, you know, as I mentioned before, we do this in so many other areas of our life, on sports teams, when we're trying to lose weight, you know, and as women, we support each other in so many different areas. So we thought, now's the time to be supporting each other, especially now, in talking about our money and getting our money on track. And, you know, and for us, we said, well, let's do this and let's support each other so that, you know, it helps our families, it helps our work life, it helps our individual lives, And it was huge because you know that if your money's out of control, then that's serious anxiety and that's a lot of worry and that's a lot of stress. And for us, we just thought it's just unnecessary. Like this is just one area that we just don't need to be stressing about and we don't need to be worrying about. And we really need to come up with a solution, something that works, something that fits. And so that's kind of what we set out to do, and that's kind of what we're hoping to share.
This is Karen Motokaitis, and you are listening to KDRT LP 95.7 FM. This is Corinne Motokaitis, and we have Angela Self from the Smart Cookies discussing how to make a career change, and you're listening to How She Really Does It. So let's talk about career changes, because you did make a career change through all of this. You started figuring out that you wanted different things.
Yeah, and I think, as again we were talking, it's not necessarily just how much money you're making, but what kind of lifestyle do you want to be living? And for me, I was working in a production job.
Angela?
Yes?
We're having a little hard time hearing you.
Okay. Oh, okay. Sorry. Can you hear me now?
We are great. Thank you.
Okay, great. I was working in TV production, and I loved it. I enjoyed the people I worked with, but it came with incredibly long hours, and the pay wasn't so great. So at the end of the day, when I worked it out, I was making far less than minimum wage, and I hadn't even really thought about it or what I was making until we started the Money Group. But through the course of discovering what it was I really wanted to have in my lifestyle, and a home and, you know, enough in savings and a number of different things, I realized that I would have to make a career change. And to be honest, had it not been for the other girls, then I probably wouldn't have had the courage to kind of step out and create my own business and make that shift and really even just to think about my career and what I was making. So, yeah, so that was a big thing for me, and a few of us have actually made career changes since forming the Money Group.
And how did you go about figuring out what it was? I mean, here you're in, you know, TV production. People
right.
think it's really glamorous. This may be of an area that you really wanted to do, and
right.
we know the entry-level jobs are very low-paying.
Yes.
But so how do you walk away from that? Because, you know, one of the things, you know, like Oprah will always talk about is live your best life, find
right.
your passion.
Well, one thing I will say just to note quickly is that, you know, if you do have a job that you do love and it is entry level, or you know that there's not a lot of movement in the pay scale, then that's where we talk about, okay, looking outside of work for something that you can do to earn extra income. For example, which is what Robin did as a social worker. There was only so far that she could go, so that's when she looked outside of work. But I think, you know, back to the situation of we spent quite a bit of time as a group talking about, okay, what are your interests? What kind of schedule do you want? What kind of money do you want to make? Do you want to work by yourself or do you want to work with other people? And we kind of went through a number of things. And on our website, we do have a number of different things to consider before making a career change. So we went through all of that, and we had talked quite a bit about real estate and real estate investing, and so it was something that I was interested in. And but before I made any major changes, I sought out a mentor in the real estate field, and I think that's crucial for anyone who's considering making a career change, or if you're coming out of school and you're looking to a particular profession, is to find a mentor in that area that's really going to give you the truth about where you're going and what are the hours and what are the pay and what is a day like in this profession. So I think and we all actually have our individual mentors, so I think that's really key to meet with someone to find out what is this job really like before you take the plunge and, you know, make a career change, or before you invest your time and energy into going into a particular profession.
So you get on the phone and you call up somebody and say, this is an industry I'm interested in. Would you mentor me, or can we meet for lunch, or...
Exactly. I think that's the first step, just to say, this is what I'm interested in. Hey, can I take you for a coffee, or can we grab a lunch? And then to see if you connect and you fit, and then if you do, wonderful, then carry on that relationship. And the great thing about mentors is that, you know, they're giving you that advice. They've been there, they've done that, and they can help you along the way. But they've also have, you know, built a network that you can tap into. And if you build a great relationship, then they're, you know, my mentor and the other mentors of the Smart Cookies have been more than happy to connect you with the right people to give you that advice. And, you know, and that's the thing. You could all use that, you know, a helping hand, especially when it comes to career and choices and changes. So, yeah, so it's finding someone in your area and asking if you can take them for a coffee and pick their brain on what it's really like in the day-to-day of their career, and then hopefully establish a relationship and you know, work together as you change careers or...
Now, did any of you on the initial contact find a person that it didn't quite click with and had to go find somebody else?
I know that Andrea, I think in particular, she's had a couple of mentors. But I don't think actually it was that there was nobody that didn't click with anyone. I think that people are usually pretty receptive and usually pretty supportive, about at least initially having a meeting. But we've been pretty lucky in finding really great mentors. And now actually Katie is mentoring someone else. So, you know, it's like paying it forward and coming full circle. And I think people are usually pretty open about chatting about their career and about something that's of interest to them.
You know, and that's something that I've always found that I think a lot of people are really afraid of is to get rejected and really a lot of people want to talk about themselves and want to be, considered to have words of wisdom.
Right. And I think even what you say about being rejected is bang on because, you know, we even have that fear of asking for a raise because we might get rejected so I think that comes into play. But for us, we're like, you know what, again, the old adage, the worst they can say is no. And if they say yes, then you're one step ahead. So, but again, that even applies to asking for a raise. It's that fear of rejection and ruffling feathers. So you just, you just kind of avoid it altogether. But I think that's the thing, that you do have to put yourself out there a little bit. And again, it's like with sports and with coaching, to find a mentor, to find essentially a coach that you can go to seek advice and to help you further yourself.
And so with your real estate career you really switched careers because some of the other women started their own businesses and fields that they were already in, but you went from to a totally different spectrum.
Yeah. And I think, again, it was kind of with the support of the other girls that I was able to take that leap. But, I think, again, back to me being, okay, I'm really excited about these goals that I have. I'm really excited about getting my own place. I'm excited about being out of debt, having savings, so now let me see what I need to do. Okay, and if changing careers, starting this business is what I need to do to get there, then I'm all for it. And again, it was, I had a realistic idea of what it was going to be like. So I wasn't just jumping in blind. But it was something that I needed to do to kind of obtain the things that I wanted to have for myself.
I'm wrapping up our discussion about how to empower your financial life with Angela Self, one of the authors of The Smart Cookies Guide to Making More Dough. And so speaking of the authors, so there's the five of you, Smart Cookies, and then this was also written, your book, The Smart Cookies Guide to Making More Dough, was also written with Jennifer Barrett. So how does that work out?
Well, we actually, when we came back from Oprah, we were speaking with Jean Tatsky, and which actually she's been a wonderful mentor to us as well. And anyway, she put us in touch with her literary agent who knew Jennifer, and we connected with Jennifer because we had never written a book before, and she's an accomplished writer, and she lives in New York City, and we said we really want to ensure that everything that we've come up with that we think are really great tools, we want to make sure that they're coming across clearly and, in a great, simple format. So it was great to partner with her. She really helped to put all five of our voices together, and it was a collaboration. So we met with her in person often and then emails back and forth and a lot of phone calls and sharing our story and just collaborating essentially on the book. So it was great to work with her and we just wanted to ensure that, everything was coming across as clear as possible. So it was great. It was a great collaboration.
And then, because she's also a former financial writer, that's what she does. So, because there's a lot, especially in the last half of the book, last third of the book, there's a lot of stuff about, the United States and the financial system there. And you guys are based out of Canada. So did that help with her background?
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly also why we thought it would be such an asset to work with her. She's American. She lives in New York City. She's she knows, you know, she has the financial knowledge. And again, you know, it was a priority for us to be aware and financially literate in the U.S. and Canada. But it was great to have her, even just, you know, even just the little things in the stores and the, and I mean, it was great to have her, and it was incredibly important to have the American voice for this book.
Well, you know, and I find this so interesting because there are five of you, and then you bring in her also, so that's a sixth person. And I think
right.
a lot of people would say, well, you know, the more people we have, the pot gets spread thinner, you know,
right.
across all of us. I mean, was that ever a concern for you guys? You know, because now,
yeah.
I mean, this is a new business in itself, the Smart Cookies.
Yeah, you're right. And I think sometimes, too, it's funny because, you know, when there's five of us together and there's five different stories and ideas and, you know, sometimes it can be a bit overwhelming, but for us, we just think, you know, it's just more variety. And again, back to, you know, we all have kind of different experiences and different, you know, and some different takes. So for us, it was just kind of, great, now we've got, you know, six different voices and different ideas, and now let's put them all together. And I think that's how Jennifer was instrumental in kind of making it, you know, bringing all of our voices together to get out, you know, the messages that we wanted to get out.
Sounds like the ego was less involved in this decision.
Yeah, you know what? That's I think the nice thing about the group is, you know, we set the ego aside, and it's all, for us, it really is. It's like, you know, this has been such a life-changing thing for us, but we haven't done, you know, it's just through small changes. So for us, it's more of, well, let's get the word out there, because if this worked for us, then it can definitely work for others.
Well, and a lot of times women have this, you know, I can do it all, I can do it myself, I can just get it done. And this collaboration has helped in so many ways. And also even with just the book, right? I mean, Jennifer needed you guys because it was your stories and your experiences.
Right.
And then you needed her, I mean, partly just because she lives in the United States, and even though
yeah.
we're on the same continent, there are things that are different. And
And
I know we talked earlier about just having these five voices and how to tie that all together. I mean, having an experienced writer is so crucial in that, because it came across very seamlessly in the book. But, you know, whose voice do you speak from? It could be the question if, like, the five of you decided, no, we're going to do this ourselves.
Right. Yeah, no, and I think that was key. And again, I think you're right. You know, it's a mentality of, you know, and women do have the mentality of, you know, I've got to do it all. I've got to get it all done. I can do it all. I can, you know, and for us, it's like, you know, well, we could have come together. We could have written this book. And again, the five of us, we contribute to weekly columns and to magazines. And, you know, for sure we could have sat down and come together with this, but we thought, well, let's turn and let's bring someone else into our team. And she's incredibly talented, and, you know, she'll really help us. Well, and also even with the timing, you know, and we said we really want to get our message out. And, so it was really great. It was really great to work with her.
And, you know, and that's also, I think, a key point for people that are thinking about starting their businesses, or for women, is that let people do their strength so that you can do yours and be great at what you do.
Exactly. And, you know, that's even how we run our money group. And I think that's the point. You know, Andrea is extremely organized. So, you know, she kind of chairs the meeting, and she kind of keeps us on track. And we all kind of play to our strengths, and which is the nice thing about even having a money group, because again, it's the same idea of, you know, we're so busy and we're so strapped for time, and at the end of the day, it's not like we have all the time in the world to go out and to research different things that, you know, are of importance. So that's the nice thing about having a group, is that, you know, you can go off and you can find the information and you can play to your strengths, and then you can come back and share with everyone else.
And so when you guys are thinking of this, and when you've started your business, the Smart Cookies, was that something you took into account? Was, okay, these are the things that we're strong at. I mean, there's a lot of you with a PR background, so you guys are already strong at that. But, and then how do you budget out for the different expenditures? You know, a website, okay, you've got marketing tours that you have to go on, and, you know, bringing in another writer or somebody. I mean, are those things that are consciously, just, they must be, because of the way you guys handle everything else.
Right, and you know, it's so funny because we say, oh gosh, you know, we should write a book on starting a business, because there's so many things that we think we wish there was a manual that was just simple, straightforward, you know, on these are the things that you need to know. And again, that's been such a learning process for us as well, even, you know, running and starting a business and now, especially that we are, you know, full-time smart cookies and this is our business, you know, that's certainly something that we've been learning along the way. And we applied the same concepts of, you know, to what we did in our own personal lives. We created a spending plan for our business, and, you know, we looked at where we wanted to be as a business in a year or in 2 years. What was our focus? What was our focus? And our focus is, you know, building the smart cookie community. How do we do that? Through our website, through the book, through... So we really, for us, it's more about how do we reach as many people as possible with the information we have and the tools that we have. And then that's kind of where we focus our energy and our resources. But for sure, you know, we joke it's been such a learning process for us as well.
Well, we're waiting. I don't think there's a question about you guys writing the book, because we're waiting for the book. Katie mentioned it last week, and people are very interested in, you know, because you guys have evolved so much. And to watch, and again, I think people resonate with your stories because they can, they are there, and they see that right. You have been there, and they see that you've changed. And so it's like, well, that's very tangible. And then your book is very tangible on how to make those changes. It's not just ideologies that are out
right.
there.
Right, exactly, exactly. And that's the thing, we you know, we do talk a lot about, but we really do, you know, the meat is there. So, you know, as much as we talk about the vision boards and the goals, the meat's there and the steps are there on what you need to do to kind of get control of your finances, or what we've done and what's worked for us.
And, you know, and I'm so impressed because, you know, so many people could have said, oh, well, you know, the financial market's so saturated. There's already all these people who are best-selling authors, and why do this? And you guys still did it. And you have your own niche, and you have your own following, and you have your story. And that's what, you know, why I do the show is because I think other people's stories inspire other people to see what's actually possible in their own lives.
And they do, exactly. And that's kind of what we're hoping, is that, you know, you'll be inspired from our story and what we have done. And I think that's the thing, you know, even for us, you know, when we were looking at financial books, we're like, it's good information, but, you know, it's coming from a different place or a different person. And, you know, for us, it was like we wanted to have that voice of just, we're just real women, and this is what we've done, and this is our story. And just as you said, hopefully people are inspired by it. They're inspired to join a money group. They're inspired to take control. And for us, it was all about, you know, living the life that you truly deserve to live, and that you can get your finances on track. It's just having the right tools, and oftentimes even, you know, who the information comes from. So hopefully people can connect with us.
Well, Angela, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show today. It was such a pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you so much for having us.
And I look forward to that book about starting the business. We've had Angela Sell from The Smart Cookies. This is Karen Motokaitis. Thanks for listening to How She Really Does It at KDRT LP 95.7 FM.